Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
I don't know about you, church, but who's grateful that today on Good Friday, God's heart is towards you? Is a heart of kindness. I wonder if we could pray together right at the start of Good Friday service. And for those of you online, I'd love you to join me and pray. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just place your hand on your heart, because we're going to have a heartfelt prayer, and I believe God wants to speak to your heart today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us in a way that shakes and changes how we live our lives towards you. We thank you. We get to gather and worship and praise your glorious name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's give God a round of applause, because he's a God that's worth praising. He's a God that we can lift up. And what a privilege it is to be with you guys on Good Friday and to share a word. And really, the privilege to be in a church that has senior pastors that keep pushing things forward, that make sure church's doors are open and filled. This is the third service today. So Pastor Jordan Chantel, we salute you, leading us in worship all day. These guys are the real deal. And they love you guys, and it is a privilege to be pastored by you both. So who's excited for Easter weekend? Well, my name's Sam, and I look after the age groups here at Soul Church. If you didn't know me, we're so many new faces in church, and I cannot wait till the day we actually get to give each other hugs, but we can't. So right now, I'd love you to give just a lofty wave to the people on your row as you take your seats. Give them a greeting. I've got the SWAT team based around the room, so if anyone tries to get a sneaky hug in, they'll be on you. I'm kidding. Well, welcome to Good Friday, and I hope you're excited for this weekend. At the start of this week, we only had 4 services on Easter Sunday, and that's now gone up to 5. Now, that tells me something, that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, God is still growing this church and the Church of Jesus Christ. He's on the move, and I'm excited for what God is going to do, and I hope you're excited for what God's going to do. Are you excited? Just the front row are excited. Are you excited at what God is going to do? Man, we've had an awesome Good Friday so far. And I'm believing that because this is the final service of the day, this is also in the hour of youth hour on a Friday night. And so this is going to be the service that really gets anointed. And God is going to speak to you in a double blessing kind of way. Is that all right? Because we're operating now in the youth ministry realm, and I'm comfortable in that realm. Earlier ones, it was a kind of older people, but you guys seem young and fun. And I can't get told off now, because it's the last one of the day. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Who needs complete darkness to sleep? Put your hand up. If you need complete darkness, you're like, yes, blackout blinds were the best invention ever made. Okay. You definitely need curtains. Okay, put your hands up if you don't need curtains to sleep. That's me. You don't need curtains to sleep. You can sleep anywhere. You probably do sleep anywhere. You could sleep on a sun lounger with the sun in your face or wherever. Yeah, there's some people like that. Remember the sun loungers? We'll be back there soon, guys. Well, I am firmly in that camp. I do not need curtains to sleep. And because of that, I fall asleep a lot in public places. Not like just, you know, in a car or something. And I think there's a photo going to come up of me asleep. I'm an ugly sleeper. And so people take photos of me. And if you guys are the guys that that sleep in anywhere, you'll also know the same problem, that people take photos of you when you're asleep. However, I recently bought a house, and I've realized I need curtains. And the reason I need curtains is not to block out the light. It's actually to hide the most hideous window frames ever known to man. Now, I brought a house that has some of the most disgusting, cracked, scratched, multiple layers of painted window frames ever. And so I need a curtain to hide it, because we all know a curtain is the best way to hide something. Remember, we're taught that lesson as very young children when we play hide and seek. Because who knows, the best place to hide is always behind your mum and dad's curtains. And they would moan at you, wouldn't they? And sometimes kids get it wrong. I think there's another photo of a kid sticking out from underneath the curtain. But we used to go behind there and we would end up with our grubby hands and our often snotty faces wiping them down the backs of the curtains. But it's not just something that kids know. Our production team know it. We've got two huge curtains to the side of the stage and behind me. And curtains are designed to block light and to keep things in the dark. However, I want to ask us a question. Have we got areas of our lives that maybe have been curtained off? Maybe they've been kept in the dark. Areas perhaps that we're ashamed of, that we just don't want the light to get to. Perhaps it's not through choice, but we've had moments where the curtains have been drawn for us, where we have entered into a day of darkness. Today, Good Friday, we remember a day of darkness, and the creative team did an incredible job, didn't they? Now let's give those guys a round of applause about showing and depicting what the cross was like for Jesus, that he was sneered at, that he was mocked. Crowds unjustly called for his crucifixion, and his disciples deserted and denied him. It was a dark time. You see, Scripture takes us on a journey along that dark day. It starts in the darkest of nights in the Garden of Gethsemane, an anguished time of prayer, and then the betrayal of Judas, one of Jesus' own friends. We then travel to an unjust trial by firelight in the house of the Pharisees. The next scene is Jesus being flogged by Pontius Pilate's orders, publicly humiliated. And then we have this painful walk up to the hill of Golgotha. And Jesus Christ is hanging bloodied, broken, and naked on a cross. Darkness starts to come across the land, and we pick up our story in Jesus' final moments on the cross. It says in Luke 23, 44 to 45, it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. Even the sun stopped shining. I don't know if you ever had one of those days where it feels like the sun has never shone. You see, it always seems strange to me that we call Good Friday good when in fact a terrible thing happened. You see, for this season we've all been in, it's been a dark season. It's been sleepless nights, moments of sickness and separation. Our whole world has been plunged into darkness. Days of tears, days of pain, anguish, shame, and confusion. Days of darkness. Extreme stress, betrayal, and denied by others. That was the darkest day that Jesus had ever experienced. I wonder if you've experienced a day like that, a day where your hope has been dashed, where wounds have been dealt to your flesh. Perhaps this lockdown season has been some of the darkest days of your life, of your businesses, of your marriages. A season where more tears have been shed and more pain has been experienced than ever before. You see, that was Good Friday. A day from the start to the end that was torturous. The sun stopped shining. And I wonder, where do you want to go on a day like that? A day that's so dark that the sun stopped. You see, for me in 2015, I had a day like that, a day of darkness. Actually, it was a season. And I was at university here in Norwich, and I was in my university bedroom, And I had this overwhelming feeling of being lost and empty. Like a child lost in the dark of a night, looking for a flickering light. What made it even worse was I'd done everything the world said would make me happy. It would make me feel good. And I was left with nothing. I was confused about who I was and who I was to be. And as a result, I started looking for light and for love in all the wrong places. I was to be pretty involved in the nightclub scene, which is like excessive drinking and partying and broken relationships. I looked for it in all of those places. And I was looking for light because that's what the world tells us, is that you can find happiness and satisfaction in sex and in drink and in drugs, and that's not true. But that's where I was looking because I didn't know where else to look. And I remember that life was so dark, and who knows that when things are dark, where's the first place you want to call? You want to call home. And I remember picking up my phone and calling my mum, and I don't even know what I said to her. But what I do know is that her voice was loving and caring and unconditional. And I remember my voice just breaking and saying, "Mum, I'm so lost. Everything's so dark." And in that moment, it was the darkest moment I could ever experience. You see, I knew that this wasn't what life was meant to be. I'd grown up in church and I'd seen people have lives of full and purpose, lives lived in relationship with God. And here I was alone on my own in my university bedroom. I wonder if you can relate to similar feelings, maybe similar experiences. Maybe you've been there. You see, Jesus can relate to that feeling too, because as he hung there on the cross, he experienced the exact same feeling as darkness had overwhelmed the world. It wasn't only him that felt it, but the whole of creation. Creation went dark. The world groaned. Darkness swept across the land. See, I wonder, in complete coincidence, that maybe you're here today because you're in your day of darkness. You've been searching for light and you just can't find it and you feel so alone. You see, when we find ourselves in a place of darkness, all we need is a place of light. We're desperate for it. 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day, that place of light would have been found in the temple. The Jewish temple, the holy temple, it was central to all of Jewish religious life. It was huge. And that was a place that everyone knew God dwelt. There was this inner room deep within the depths of the temple called the Holy of Holies. And if you needed light, that was a place to go to, because that is where God himself dwelt. The earthly dwelling of God's presence, the source of light. You see, God's majestic presence was so holy, so perfect, so full of light. It was separated from humanity by a curtain, a 60-foot curtain that was 4 inches thick. You see, this curtain protected humanity from his perfection. It was so sacred, this place, in fact, that only once a year could a high priest put on these special clothes and go in. You had to be a special person at a special time wearing special things to even get into that place. So imagine if you were just like me and you, and you're none of those things, and you get to this place and you're just faced with this curtain. You're in one of the darkest scenes of your life, and the closest you can get to it is blocked by a curtain, 4 inches thick. Isaiah 59 verse 2, it talks about it. It says that your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. The curtain signified the separation. Because of our sin, the God of light and the man of darkness. Imagine going to that temple, your day of darkness, and you're faced with that curtain. A curtain which reminds you of the things that you have done. You cannot enter the presence of God because of all of the baggage and the junk that you've collected. Everyone's got that little voice, haven't they? It says to you, you're not good enough. Why would God want to listen to you? If he knew you, he wouldn't really love you. He could never be proud of you. Oh, all the things you've done in secret, it's the guilt, it's the shame, the shortfallings, the times that you've let your mates down, maybe you let your kids down, the times you've lied, you've cheated, the ugly side of our lives that we've all got. So we continue to live our lives in a place of darkness. Never fully able to connect with God. But something happens in that darkest of moments on the cross. Something happens when we're sitting at the curtain going, God, God, why aren't you there? You see, when Jesus hung on that cross, something happened in that darkest of moments. When the darkness seemed to almost overcome the world in the moment that the world was consumed, the scriptures say this. Luke 23, verse 44, it says, it was about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn. It was torn in a moment. God tore the temple. If there's one thing we're going to praise about this Easter is that God has made a way. You see, that temple curtain was significant. The temple curtain is an image of what happened on the cross. Because sometimes the cross can seem a little bit difficult for us to understand, because I don't know about you, but I don't see many crosses with people on in Norwich anymore. But we can relate to a curtain, because we understand that because of our sin, there was a barrier between us and God. God tore open the curtain, but it gets even better. The Bible says that at that moment, Matthew 27, 51, at that moment, in the veil, the Holy of Holies, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Top to bottom. And maybe you're thinking, Sam, why is that important? Well, if it was man trying to tear the temple, trying to tear the curtain, where do we go? To the bottom. You start at the bottom and you try and tear it the way up. But no, the curtain ripped from top to bottom. What does that mean? Well, that means that God made a way. God tore the curtain to have a relationship with us. I wonder what God wants to do in your darkest moment. I wonder if God, who doesn't change, wants to do the same thing he did 2,000 years ago in the temple. He wants to tear back the curtain and he wants to pour his glorious light in. God entered our darkness. But maybe you're thinking, well, what does this light look like? It's a really good question. The light looks like love. No greater love. In one moment, God moved heaven and earth. God would not allow the darkness to separate us anymore. In John 1:5, it says this, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No matter how much rubbish you think you've got in your life, let me tell you that it is nothing compared to the light of God, the light of Jesus. See, I remember that exact moment when I was hit by the love of God. I was standing literally right there, just in front of Molly, in this building. And I'd come in and I was messed up and my life was crazy. I didn't know what was happening and my life felt dark. And I came to church and I remember standing there, and that is where God spoke to me. He didn't just tell me that he loved me. He actually told me that he paid a price for me. And he's paid a price for you too. So no longer was I lost. No longer was I in the dark. My life now had meaning. My life now had purpose. My identity could now be found in him. Nothing I had done compared to the powerful light God had shown. It reminded me of the love that my mum had shown me when I was on the phone. But this was a love from God. You see, we're called to be in God's light. Known, seen, and loved. And if you're here today, my question is, I wonder what God wants to do to you in your darkest of moments. There's this scripture, Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 20, and it reads this: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." God has a new way of living for you. God has a new way of loving for you. I wonder what God wants you to do with your life, because he's got great plans in store for you. Jesus' death on the cross was the opening of a personal relationship with us. We're no longer bound by our darkness, so we can live in God's glorious light. On Good Friday, I'd love to read this scripture to you. You may have heard this scripture before. It's a well-known scripture. It's John 3:16. It says this: "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It then goes on to say in verse 19, this is the verdict: light has come into the world. Light has come into your darkness. So this Easter, tomorrow morning, as you open your curtains, I want you to remember these three things. Number one, God has torn open the curtain. He wants to have a relationship with you. Number two, you no longer have to live in darkness. And number three, to live in his light, you simply need to receive his love. I wonder right now if I could ask you all to stand. And I just want to take a moment on Good Friday to reflect individually. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I understand it might feel uncomfortable. There's no pressure. But if you'd like to close your eyes, please feel free to, because I want it to be a personal moment for you. I've got a question, a real simple question to ask. The question is this: do you believe in Jesus? For some of you, that was an easy answer. For some of you, you might not be sure. Do you believe in Jesus? John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It then goes on to say that God has not sent his Son to condemn you, but to save you, to bring you into his glorious light. As you keep thinking about that question, do you believe in Jesus? I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer it. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, if your answer changes from no to yes, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, I'd love you to slip up your hand just high enough so I can see it, because I want to know who I'm praying for. I believe that there are people here today that are going to be making a decision to follow Jesus. That are going to go from a light of darkness to a life of light. Maybe it's you at home watching online, and you can do this moment too. So one, God has torn open the curtain. Two, you no longer have to live in darkness. Three, right now, if you have the courage and bold enough to slip up your hand just high enough so I can see it, hey, that's fantastic. That's awesome. People all over putting their hand up. That's amazing. Once you put it up, you can put it down. Hey, people are applauding because the decision you've made is moving from a life of darkness to a life of light. Just like I did in that spot over there in 2015, when my life was so dark, God breathed in His light. Now, if you didn't put your hand up, that's okay, because God sees your heart. But I'd love you to join me in saying this prayer out loud as a church family, as brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible says we are. Would you repeat this after me? Heavenly Father, I admit I've got things wrong. I need and want your forgiveness. I accept your death as the forgiveness of my sins. Help me to live as a child of God. In your light, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, let's give a huge round of applause for every single one of you who made that decision. Let me tell you, if you told me in 2015 on what I'd see God do in my life, it's mind-blowing, and I know that God wants to do the same in your life. This isn't something just for me, this is something for every single one of you. God wants you to live in His glorious light. And right now, we're going to praise God, who deserves our praises. And we're just going to declare His faithfulness. And right now, I wonder if I could just pray for you really quick. And we're going to let the worship team start worship behind us. And we're going to have a song of praise. Easter Sunday is just around the corner. Come on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you that on Good Friday, a day which seemed to be so torturous, that you did the greatest miracle. You brought us in to your light. So Father, we thank you. We can worship your glorious name. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you in the Most High, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who's thankful for the blood of Jesus, that veil was rent from top to bottom, because God loved you so much. Yes, you online, He loved you that way. Come on, why don't we thank Sam Milcham for putting together a phenomenal message. Did so well, so proud of him. Listen, friend at home or you in the building, if you made a decision at that moment when Sam prayed, it is the best decision you will ever make. And we want to congratulate you as well for doing that. So if you're watching online, you'll see some instructions on the screen. You can let us know, download the Bible app. But if you're in this room here, then as you leave the building in just a moment, we'd love to give you a gift. It's a Bible. It's going to help you. Even if you've already got one, just come up to one of the team that will be waving them and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. And if you are online, but you can get here on Sunday, then come and we'll give you one in person as well.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.